This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation with Heart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Epic Battery, Marco's Pizza, Pinder Tao, Prince Masters, and Ron's Electric Motors.
Foundation. The Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this gorgeous Monday, March 17th, 2025. I pray that you guys are good out there. I hope that you had a great weekend. I celebrated my daughter's 17th birthday this weekend. Oh, she celebrated it very stalely. You know what I mean? Like, you know, these kids don't want to do nothing. I don't know what they want to do. Anyway. So she celebrated her birthday, her 17th birthday, and we were excited about it. We wanted to do all kinds of things. We went for lunch over at my good friend Ephraim. Sat with him out there on the balcony, and we had a good time, man. Very good, fresh food. We had a wonderful time, and always got to be able to shout out my good friend Ephraim Jones over there at the Garden of Eden. It is in Eastwood Estates, right across the street from Elizabeth Estates, right in there. And you can drive through Tulip on the top of the hill on the left-hand side, and you can be able to find him. I mean, some of the best food the island has to offer. My family truly enjoyed themselves. And I say happy birthday, Judea Hillary Tyler. We call her Hillary. Hillary Tyler Grant. She is celebrating her 70th for her on March 16th. Now, my wife's birthday can begin again. This is just too much, okay? So her birthday was on the 12th, and then it goes right straight through, and then we take a pause so my baby girl can have her birthday, and then we start again. For the entire month of March, this has been happening for 17 years. Somebody take me out of this nightmare. This is too much. I can't take it. But anyway, praise God. Guys, it's a wonderful day, and it was a great weekend. I hope you guys had a good time this weekend. I know I heard a couple of things happening over the weekend, but I pray that everyone's well and I'm really balanced and prepared to be able to make some things happen. As you can see, we made some significant strides or some inroads to be able to have formal political conversations, flirt with the informal, with the informal, flirt with the underbelly of a salacious conversation for the purposes of entertainment. The devil is a liar. You all need to stop. If you want to be able, we have access to these people. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be able to speak with clarity as the time draweth nigh. We're about to step out of the third month, which is the, and a lot of persons are sort of up in arms with those particular things. So we'll be able to see the minister and the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party being able to sit with us today at 12:30 some. So 1 o'clock with the formalities and being able to do all those things. So I'm happy to kind of have that conversation with him. Grateful to do that. I know you guys want to be able to call in, or you can text in with some plans. Ask the minister. You can send that to me now so I can be able to incorporate that and have good conversation. Guys, I got to shout out my good, decent people over at Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. Make sure you go and check them out. It is midway point, almost at the end of the month now. We've already passed the midway point. And so now it's downhill as it relates to being able to see the end of the month. So while you go there and make sure You get your car insured. I hope to God you're riding up and down with your car, uninsured on the government road. I just want to be decent with you. I hope you're being decent and you're driving with clarity and responsibility of being able to perform and adhere to the rules and regulations, the laws that govern our country. And if you're not doing that, the long arm of the law will surely catch up with you in due time and due season. If you're one of those persons, you're looking, you may not have it the entire thing right now. AFS insurance agents and brokers, they definitely have in-house financing, right? So go there, ask my good friend FBO or ask for Mr. Richardson. They'd be more than happy to accommodate you. They're located at number 407 Blue Hill Road South, the Gate Shopping Plaza. You can give them a call at 341-1AFS, 341-1AFS. You can be able to hit them up in those areas. Guys, I told you about it Friday. I tell you about it. We had a good conversation about it, I think, 2 weeks ago on Thursday about these colonics, the hydrocolonic, right? Can I share some stuff with you? I am going to do it again. Let me tell you why. I am convinced that I have parasites. And I think it's one of those self-diagnosed. And we go on to Google and we try to be able to match some of the symptoms that we have and the feelings that we have and contrast it to what we're seeing on the internet. I've been watching these people talk about these tapeworms and other things like that. I am absolutely convinced that we do that, right? And I've been asking Dr. Teresa about it, and she's been telling me about those particular things, and you can see those things coming out. I know this isn't a good conversation to have over your lunch as you continue to be able to scoff down your pork or your beef. I'm not going to fight you. However, those things just take a while to get out of your system. It would grow in 3.5 weeks into full maturity. Decent. Let's get these things out of our system, guys. Go check out the hydrocolonics, and you could be able to do that with Dr. Teresa at Coco Plumbers. You can hit them up, CocoPlumWellnessBahamas.com, to make your reservation today. On Mondays and Fridays, get 25% off. Just let them know you heard it here on the foundation. And on the 25th of every month, so we're coming up to the 25th. On the 25th of every month, you get 50% off for the entire year of 2025. 50% off. Guys, you got to clean it. Ladies, gentlemen, you got to clean yourself out. We've been walking around, listen to me, the white of our eye, different colors now. We don't know what's happening. We don't know. We blame it on age, maybe alcohol, whatever it is, maybe sugar, whatever these things are. But most of the time, it's parasites. Most of the time, it is a sort of an idea that you have things backed up in your system. You got to get your colon cleansed out. Give a call, guys, 445-8111, 445-8111. They can take good care of you in those areas. I just wanted to kind of let you guys know that before we get going with anything else. And Da Vinci Printing and Innovators, they got everything laid out for you. Make sure you go and check them out. They're located on Village Road, right there in the Village Road, Soldier Road, Bernard Road, Wolf Road, right there in the intersection on the side of the Bank of the Bahamas, and you can be able to get that. Now, I tell you, you got to be creative with this. You're not just going there, can you give me two copies? I didn't know. There are some things that they offer you that you can really be able to change the ambiance in your space if you want to be able to do something like that. So, guys, go down there, give them a call, and they'd be more than happy to assist you in those areas. The numbers you can be able to hit them up today is, pull up that number, 677-2922. 677-2922. Pick up Bugatti newspaper, guys. All the information are critical. Davos says cutting program would harm the optimy. Optimy care, right? Now, I just want to say this. If we remember back in, was it 2020? It had to have been 2020. 2020. We were nestled in, I think we were the end of 2020, the beginning of 2021. We would have already seen the Minister of Hassidy and the person of Renwood Wells when this was an extension being made by the Cuban officials to be able to come into the country
and execute this this plan that they had as it relates to being able to assist with some of the issues that we had. It was significant, the issues that we had. Now, we would have heard about Cuba being in different spaces. I think they were in France. I think that they were in, I can't remember all the spaces that they were, but they were doing some major things in the world as it relates to COVID-19 and being able to assist like that. We actually agitated the media standpoint and the public standpoint, being able to talk to our officials. And we said to them, hey, listen, you should consider the Cuban doctors. A little while after, when some opportunities opened up for international nurses to be able to move from one space to another, we had almost, it felt like an exodus out of the Princess Margaret Hospital. I don't know if much went out of Doctors Hospital, but I think it was some 40-some nurses. Am I correct? 40-some nurses. And when we got the assistance from the Cubans, some things changed around, turned around. Because we were getting assistance also from Samaritan's Purse, if you remember. My father was one of those persons who actually had to have a surgery during this time from Samaritan's Purse in Grand Bahama. And, you know, if you let my mother tell the story, if it wasn't for Samaritan's Purse, if it wasn't for the assistance of those from elsewhere, from abroad, to come into our space to assist us, your daddy would have been dead. I mean, I don't know whether or not this is, you know, if she's stretching the thing. I'm not going to fight her. But nonetheless, you know, I'm here and he's over there. And she said, your daddy would have been dead. So I just want to be able to say this. With the limited resources that we have in the country, with the position that we're in right now as a nation, and being able to identify the talents that exist in this country, and ensuring that we could create the legislation opportunity and find the capital to support those particular those passions, those ideas, and really be able to develop those talents that persons have in preparation for them to move to different. I think the Cuban doctors are critical. Now, I would have read something on, let me see if I can pull it up on my phone. I know I did save it. I would have read something in The Guardian. I think it was in The Guardian. And it was a story associated with, one of the prime minister, and he's taken on this very strong position of indicating that a lot of our leaders cower. They cower. They fall into this position where they relentlessly genuflect to what's being said from an external standpoint without understanding their responsibility to their nation and the sovereignty of its people. Now, he's taken on this position, and I was about to write an article about it, you know. He's taken on this position to be able to identify Mia Motley. But he didn't name her. He named the strength of the community, and then he named some countries. And one of the countries was the Bahamas. And in being able to name that, there are some nations that fell in line with this concept of being able to at the United States of America for their policies. Now, you and I often have conversations like this. The sovereignty that exists in a nation is unto the nation to make the decision. They gave a mandate to Donald Trump to be able to make America great again. He's actually laid out during his entire campaign what his expect America great again, what that meant. And in being able to do that, he boiled it down to this approach. Very rudimentary, very basic. Listen, we can make a wall, we can do this, we can send them back, we're getting the Gulf back, we're getting the name back. And if you read into it, it was a level of imperialism with this kind of an idea very subtly of being able to make America great. It was not unto America itself. It was to the world. And so if we want to be able to read is whether or not he becomes the president supreme in America or if he's viewed as a king from a global standpoint. I don't know. And so I look at this and I assess it. And I say to myself, I think I agree with the Prime Minister of Nevis. I think I agree with him. I think the sovereignty that exists in each space is not to be able to scream at America to make their policies comfortable and accommodating to everyone that in their perimeter. That's not America's responsibility. America's responsibility is not to ensure that they make the Bahamas comfortable again.
that they continue to ensure that we can be able to access those comforts. We have leaders in these positions that, for the most part, are not proactive in ensuring that they safeguard the sovereignty of our space. I believe, and we could talk about this, I believe our leaders have found a very comfortable, lackadaisical position. Not all of them, but most of them have. And that comfort is that what has existed prior to me will always be there, taking no account to the fact that things will change. The agendas will change. And it seems to me that Mia Motley, very subtly, is being to agitate for a democratic approach to be instituted right where it was prior. And the rejection of this sort of a Republican strong approach that we see Donald Trump being able to take. Now, I don't know. But I really do believe that things need to be able to change. I really do believe it. Change should come from America, ensuring that they provide the comforts that we seek within the Caribbean, the 46 million people in the Caribbean. That America needs to ensure that they take care of Mexico. America needs to ensure that they accommodate China and Russia and South America. And all. No, that's not what their responsibility is. This in our space is as unto us and the leadership that we identify, democratically chosen leadership, voted for leadership to sit in the position to move our country in the direction that we are convicted, are convinced, are assured that we can go. That forward, upward, onward, together has nothing to do with America. Nothing. And so when we see these things and the relationships that we can't even tap into because of our proximity, we need to be able to revisit these things. And this is what my expectation is from this this administration. Today we're going to be able to talk with Minister Fred Mitchell, in his particular capacity as both chairman and Minister of the Foreign Service. Now, I want to know a lot of things from a chairman's standpoint, but I'm grateful for this. I'm hoping that we can make this at least a monthly thing, leading up to the next general election, to have good conversations to find out exactly what's what. Now, I told you this. If I didn't tell you this, I'm going to tell you now. Fred Mitchell today, I've confirmed Dr. Sands tomorrow, and I'm waiting on a confirmation for Lincoln Bain for Wednesday. Okay? At least once a month, I'd like to have this kind of a conversation about leadership. I know that you want to talk specifics. I know that a lot of persons get up in arms as it relates to being able to talk policy, but I'd like to talk about the sovereignty of a people. I'd like to talk about the vision associated with what's being cast and exuded from one political organization or the other for the people of the Bahamas. I'm going to get into those conversations, guys. If you have any questions, you want to give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720, or you can hit me up, 422-4796. Quick commercial break. Going to be right back after this.
The Foundation with Howard Grant will be back right after this. Why settle for the typical burger when you can indulge in the Steakhouse Bacon Whopper at BK? The king is raising the stakes with a masterpiece that combines all of your favorite steakhouse flavors. A juicy flame-grilled beef patty topped with A1 steak sauce, crispy onion, savory bacon, Swiss cheese, creamy peppercorn aioli with fresh lettuce and tomato. It's a steakhouse experience you can hold. Crafted the BK way. The Steakhouse Bacon Whopper is bursting with flavor. Only available for a limited time at Burger King Nassau.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motor, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can order on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Gonna say Lampkin. Besides carrying all the roofing material needed to cover East End, Enterprises also has all the equipment needed to put it together and to protect your workers. At Enterprises, we got hand tools, power and manual, including hacksaws, hammers, mauls, drill bits, tapes, plumb bobs, levels, and more. We got cement, concrete bonding fiber, lime, sand, and P-Rock. We got dust masks, safety glasses, gloves, hard hats, and high visibility vests. Lampkin, what we got here at Enterprises is a one-stop shop for builders.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. I pulled it up. It was on C.A. Nuri's page. It's the premiere of Premier Mark Brantley. He has some information out there, and he's the premier. He started to talk about these things. He started to talk about this sort of an idea. Our Caribbean must recognize and accept and respect the fact that the American people voted in a free and fair election, elected the President Donald Trump to their as a commander-in-chief. Since elected, President Trump has done exactly what he had campaigned on and tackled the issues that he espoused that he would make America great again. And he goes on to talk about those particular things. He says, given the reality on the ground, the United States that swept President Trump into power, I find it a hand-wringing and an emotional outburst from some in our region. And you know who that is, including our country. Including our country. And some in our region and many in the world thoroughly helpful. Heaping odium and contempt upon the democratically elected president of the world's leading superpower may make for good headlines, but does not constitute a strategy. Remember we talked about this? That everyone have a strategy. You have a strategy, political organizations have a strategy, the government has a particular path and strategy. Everyone has a strategy but us. And this is the same concept. That we continue to be able to run into these tribulation, run into these the indifference that's happening from a world away with emotion. And so with emotion, we lead. And we see these particular things, right? And then he starts to talk about it. He says, my sense is in the Caribbean region acting through the drawing upon the considerable human talent ensconed within the CARICOM. Now, I agree with him. CARICOM has come together and been able to put themselves in the position to indicate that they want to be able to ensure that they pull together to come up with a Haitian-led solution. They can do this. But when it comes to America, there's kind of a threatened idea about being able to see our the visas and not being able to access America. There was a list that was put out, I think, with 40-some countries, and they put them in three tiers. Right? And in those tiers, they've been able to identify persons who immediately been stopped. And this is from good sources in the White House. Right? And they put this information out. And I'm reading this and I can't believe this, that this is happening around the world. And we still have decision locally. We still haven't. Are we going to genuflect and say, okay, no, keep our visas. Let's keep our visas. I want to talk about these things. I want to talk about this kind of an idea as to whether or not we're making a decision
for our comforts rather than moving in a position of conviction and understanding the authority and the autonomy that exists in this country? That's the question I have. I want to know that. I want to know whether or not you've decided in this particular position to identify that. There is a draft list of various countries, right? And this information has come out. I read it. There's a draft list from the Times. And this information indicates that the Times makes a careful decision anytime it uses anonymous sources. So this information came from an anonymous source within the White House. And it's time to talk about the red countries. All travel have been banned, including Afghanistan, Cuba, Iran, Libya, North Korea, and Sudan, Syria, right? And Venezuela. This is crazy. All travel banned. They've made an orange. We've seen this before with 9/11. When they're on orange alert, red alert, so forth and so on. We've seen this before. Now they come back with the tears. And it says orange, which is the visas sharply restricted. This includes Haiti, Russia, South Sudan. This is a lot. This is a lot. And then the yellow, which is 60 days to be able to address these. And I was looking to see whether or not the Bahamas was on this list. And we're not. Right? So you can be able to identify these things, and I can send it to you if you want me to be able to send it to you. St. Kitts and Nevis, this is a lot. St. Lucia, Zimbabwe, Dominica, Dominican Democratic Republic of Congo, the Republic of Congo. This is a lot. Angola, Antigua and Barbuda. Guys, this is a lot. And if these considerations are being made right under our nose, and all we have to do is scream and say, well, I don't need to go to America. I don't need to go to America. That have to be a part of the sovereignty, but the conversation can't just be sulking in the corner and saying, well, I didn't want to know how. There isn't strategy. The reason that we empowered you and put you in this position and gave you the diplomatic passport, you got a diplomatic passport. That is for negotiation. That is to be able to access spaces that most of us can't. To be able to make decisions for growth and development of the country. And those things aren't happening. You're sitting in this position, pouting, and saying, we're sovereign. We don't have to listen to you. But you're not unifying your voices, your strategy, your approach, and presenting yourself as a unit. You can't. And I believe that this is a losing battle that you are fighting. This is a losing battle that you are fighting. If you believe that the nature of Donald Trump, who is in his latter years now, in life and in politics, is going to be able to shift to the whims of an individual or a country when he's seeking to be able to build a legacy like none other before him, he's going to show himself strong. You need to be able to stand strong on your own. This is good conversation. I want you guys to be able to do that and have good conversation. Pintot says the government is evicting policemen from the homes in Grand Bahama. AG's office hits back at the U.S. report. The AG office says that the Office of Citizenship for the United States of America over the Bahamas' efforts to crack down on financial crime was hypocritical. Did you read it? Did you read the information? Did you read it? I just had an opportunity to be able to read just before I came in here, and they started to talk about being able to make modifications to these things and being able to find a very strong position, and this administration not doing what's necessary to be able to fortify the Freedom of Information Act. This is strong stuff. This is strong stuff, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to be able to... And I don't know whether or not this would be a good prerequisite to have a conversation between the minister and I today. But the truth is that I am convinced that a lot of the issues that we're faced with and troubled with is as a result of a policy being, handed to us. Can I say that? Is it okay? 1964, the reading of the Constitution, and there are persons who are taking on this position to say that the Constitution was not designed for a black man. The Constitution was not written by black men for black men. The Constitution was written, and you know, I counter that by the fact that there was a black majority, but the minority ruled at the time. And the sovereignty laid within the arms and the bosom of what was happening in Britannia. The sovereignty existed for our country. It was merely a colony at the time. In 64, when they did the reading of our Constitution in the ears and the hearing of the people, this, we were not a black majority. That didn't happen until 9 years later. And so when you identify these things, and when you start to be able to have this conversation, you have to recognize what we're talking about. Our problem is that we have been given a way to govern. And the talent and the exposure that we have from leadership, years and years, have not sat down and made the necessary modifications to ensure that they can strengthen this for our people. They haven't done it. They have not done it. This is the issue that we have. America, again, is taking on a posture and being able to provide us information to say, make these particular modifications. And we genuflect, and if you read in the article and read the story, you'd realize that we did some, as they indicated in the article, we did some, but we didn't go all the way. We realize that America is concerned about the way that we govern. They're concerned about our relationships with China. They're concerned about crime. They're concerned about whether or not any crack is going or cocaine is going through our country to America. They have a lot of concerns. And it seems as though we as a nation, now this could only be observational, and this may just be my feelings and emotions, but it seems as though we are a nation are relentlessly genuflecting to the whims and the feelings that we should do and not being able to understand the autonomy that exists in this country. You ain't dealing with us. You're more concerned about being able to ensure that you adhere to what's being said from the IMF standpoint, from the World Bank standpoint, what is required by the IDB. What is America saying for this particular standpoint? What is the U.S. Embassy saying in these areas? And then whatever scrappings that are left, now we try to be able to squeeze that together and make a makeshift cake and present that to the Bahamian people. We're going to do these things. We give you an opportunity. The first thing you do is pledge allegiance to a majesty's heirs and successors and then focus on an agenda that's external. And then you come back to us just before an election and say, hey, old buddy, old pal. These are the issues that we have in this country. Garth made a very good point, I think last week when we spoke. Every night, it seems as though the arms of Moses is falling and we fall victim to violence, to rapes, domestic violence. And we can't wait until the morning because at least then we pray that it subsides. We have real issues in this country and our politicians aren't doing enough to deal with it. We got to talk not about specific and the strategic approach to policy. We got to know whether or not you have the heart and you've modified, come to Jesus moment for the people. Let's take this call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
What's up, my dear?
Howard, bear up. Bear up.
I'm good.
Listen, I'm listening to what you're saying, and you, it piqued my curiosity when you start talking about the Constitution and who came up with what's written in it. And what I wanted to ask is, do you think we would have someday a government that would be bold enough to put out a referendum to make today's type needed adjustment to that amendment?
I think we will.
I hope that we do because I'm saying it. I've said it for a while. You know, if you look at the harshness of some of the crime that is levied against certain people, and depends on what they do, and then again to those who has nothing levied against them, and depending on what they do, you understand me? It's kind of curious to me as to if we have somebody someday that would adjust it to suit our people. The FNM party or the UBP party, whichever party was back then, wanted to wait for the independents to make adjustments to the constitution that was, snatched up and run with under the Progressive Liberal Party because they didn't want to wait.
Mm.
You know, so if you look at it, they are some of the reasons why we're where we are today. Look at it. One little threat. If they say ours, mine thing get taken away because I'm related to none of them. I doubt yours can get taken away because you may not be related to any of them. If so, maybe a distant. So what's the problem? Be like me and Madly. Say, listen, if that's what you're going to do, but these nurses and doctors are needed for the health and well-being of my people.
You know, I don't know whether or not they're going to have that kind of a strength.
They don't.
They don't have that strength. And I think we need to have a clear conversation about that.
Listen to what Dr. Darwell is saying. Oh, we are searching elsewhere. Why go to China? You know that is going to be America's
next
hit.
That's going to be an even bigger problem.
That's going to be their next hit at countries. Listen, we don't want to have nothing to do with China. Send all them over to your country or do this or do that. Trump is a person, if you give him an inch, he is going to take a mile. To stand up to him, and whenever he fires, just be prepared to stand your ground. Wow. He's never going to give up.
No, he ain't going to give up. I appreciate your call, my dear. Thank you so very kindly for that. You know what's peculiar to me? Marco Rubio is of Cuban heritage. This is a clear indication that it doesn't matter your ethnicity. It only matters your allegiance. Nobody cares where you come from. It's where you at. No one cares about what your blood is made up of. The drive that you have and the passion that you have and where that came. Care about where you at. And that goes for so much things in this world. Marco Rubio of Cuban heritage, being able to stand in the position and reject the idea of his brothers and sisters being able to find opportunities, not in America, elsewhere. And merely because of our affiliation, our proximity, and the access that we have in these particular spaces, maybe because some intel that they have, we don't know, but they've taken on this strong position to be able to say, listen, y'all don't have nothing to do with none of these people. Let's take a next telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, great show, usual. Howard, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Right up, man. Okay, I like the topic, right? And I like the fact that a lot of Bohemians care about what's going on in society today. The problem is, right, the politician about the crime. Before you answer that, right, I say something, I'm going to respond to this. Because what happened is we have a social behavioral problem. We have too many dynamics at play with this crime today. One, a society is actually held by fear. We have no fear anymore. What I mean by that is, back in the day, we had fear of church. What I mean by that is, hell. You didn't do a crime or do something bad because you were scared to go to hell. These children nowadays don't go to church.
They're ready to go to hell.
Second thing, right? We did not respect our parents.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain this. We feared our parents. We had fear of the belt. We had so many different fears. We had fear of the slipper. We have fear of being punished. We took the punishment and the fear of the kid. Your parents, they call their parents by their first name.
Mm.
Third of all, right? We are fighting a situation with popularity. Right now, it's popular to carry around a gun. It's popular now to go to jail.
Mm.
You know how crazy it is? Howard, it's popular to kill someone.
Mm.
A female nowadays may or may not date a guy unless he's been to jail, unless he has a body. You know how crazy it is?
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
I never hear nothing like this before. I know the girls like bad boys. From I was a child. Right.
You heard a song?
But I didn't know it was this bad.
They like Batman.
My God.
They want the gunman.
What?
The females nowadays, Howard, want the gunman.
My God. Well, praise God, I'm married. I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. I got to get out of here. I got two more telephone calls before I go to a commercial break at 1 o'clock. All right, one more telephone call. Go ahead.
Hey, good day, Howard.
What's happening?
Yeah, man. Very relates to with the Cubans, right? Right. I'm bringing those, keeping those Cubans here. Over the fact that our leaders might have their visas them taken away from them or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let them take them visas from them fellas, but you know, because they ain't serving the Bahamian people. You know, they ain't serving the Bahamian people. They ain't making no difference for us, right? Because they 5-year celebrities, right? And they don't never do their jobs when they inside the being and red carpets roll out for them. But you were saying something about having a conversation with the chairmen of the parties, right? But I hear you indicated Mr. Bain to speak with them, but I just wanted you to a well-capable chairman of the COI in the name of Miss Charlotte Green.
Okay.
Right? And, you know, and put her up against those two chairmen of the PLP and the air for them and see what the COI has to offer.
Okay.
So have a nice call.
Thank you,
have
man.
Have a nice day.
Thank you, man. I do appreciate you. Last telephone call. Caller, very quickly, go ahead.
Hey. Question.
Go ahead.
If we don't do what they say, is the visas of everybody to be revoked?
Well, this is a lot of speculation going on right now, and they are talking about countries. The information that I've identified has been country-based, not individual-based. And so we're still waiting for more information to come out, and I know that our leaders are relentlessly in the position to be able to identify through diplomacy what they're going to be able to do. So it will be, you know, the wrong thing to do is incorrect from a diplomatic standpoint and a politically correct standpoint for me to stand here and say this is what it is. Everything that I've read has to do with and so I don't think that they make modification to individual standpoints as you're going forward. But let's be able to do what we are doing and be able to take this quick commercial break. I just got a text. The minister is on his way, so we'll be able to see him right after these commercial breaks. We'll see you and get into our conversation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Now let me see now. 326-ETIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill, and Fire Trail is too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the family island.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you. So what are the boy? All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me.
I'll go directly to Miami and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled so nobody can read what you're saying.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back. Your telephone. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect, as promised. He's here in the flesh, being able to talk to us. I'm always grateful to be in this company. Ladies and gentlemen, the Member of Parliament for Fox Hill and the Minister for Foreign Service, none other, and the Chairman of the Free Now, and the Chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, none other than Fred Mitchell, being able to sit with us today, and I'm grateful for him to be here with us. My brother, it is wonderful to have you in the studio with us. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Sorry I'm a bit late, but service ran a bit over time in Fox Hill. But
that's good. We know that you're in politics mode. I listen to your stuff every morning. I know that this is time. You're getting yourself geared up to be able to do those things, so I know that you're touching your persons. I'm grateful that you're here with us. A lot has been going on in our country, around the world, and we find ourselves at the crosshair of being able to do those things. And I want to talk to you about, not specifically about the PLP's policy or government, but I want to talk to you about the policy of people. I know a lot of things have happened across time, and the PLP has always had this sort of an idea of being able to be the party for the people, the party for the people. Now, things have shifted over the time. Not necessarily that has moved towards a free national movement, but persons feel a sense of lull as to whether or not the party is concerned about their issues, the party is concerned about their particular things. Talk to me about the PLP's reforged or rejuvenated mind after this New Day administration that says, hey, listen, we're concerned about people, we're making the necessary moves, and we're ensuring that we can be able to do this going forward.
Well, let me first of all reassure people that that is in fact the case, we have a leader, we have a set of parliamentarians, both senators and members of parliament, who are dedicated to people first in this country and to issues which affect people at all levels, whether those people are at the lower socioeconomic strata in the country or whether you're up top. The question is, are you Bahamian to working for the best interests of Bahamians? Let me reassure everybody on that. What I think tends to happen is when you reach a midterm, there's a kind of, it's described in the United States very often as a kind of midterm blues. And there are a number of factors which are going on in the world and at home where people may not feel that they're actually in control of their own situations. And so I think any kind of malaise is probably due to that, although what is reflected when we have our meetings is not that. We have a very enthusiastic group of supporters who are dedicated to carrying this project on. They understand the difficulties of governance and are rededicating themselves to what I call the PLP project, which of course is nation building for this country.
One of the things that I've often spoke about here in this space, because we know sometimes I push the envelope and try to have a conversation that's not being had, something that is sometimes politically taboo or socially taboo. And what I've often identified as is that the PLP is strong unto itself. Now, let me build this. I've gone back to 1982, 1987, and you can give me the history of these things, 82, 87, and then eventually the transition for the Free National Movement in 1992. But that couldn't happen without significant allegations being swirled around about this prospect or this concept of corruption that exists in the PLP. Now, they've been saying that the PLP is corrupt. This is something that those that oppose your party and your position has always levied against you.
And for the most part, I've said that you've done nothing as an org to rectify this label that's been placed on you. You try to work around it and try to show people who you are without being able to deal with it head on. Most recently, since May of 2021, based upon what's happening out of the United States of America, we would have been able to see this levy of corruption being able to be revived. It has nothing to do with your administration strategically or specifically. However, it's falling on your lap. What do you say about that? What do you say about this perception of how people that don't necessarily follow or who are eager to find their way in politics view the PLP in this way? How do you kind of rectify that and push aside and really push forward?
Well, that's an F&M talking point, and it's an F&M talking point that hasn't worked for them because they lost the election.
Right.
So they can say that as much as they want. The fact is the Bahamian people don't believe them. The fact is the Progressive Liberal Party has worked out best for this country, and those are the facts, and they can, you know, beat the drum and say whatever they wish. If we want to go back to the history of the party, I mean, the most corrupt party has to be, if you want to talk about most corrupt or not corrupt, the UBP and the Free National Movement. Mm-hmm. And you just look back at the commissions of inquiry that have been done. There was a commission of inquiry which dealt with the Pinlig administration. But one thing you can say about the Progressive Liberal Party is anything which lands is dealt with and not dismissed. So that the record will show that no matter what the criticism is, the right thing is always done, and the party always lands on its feet and continues to provide governance and good policies for the country. And mm-hmm. that is something we stand on. What the Free National Movement has to do, the Progressive Liberal Party's strongest leg that it stands on is its legacy. And in order for them to succeed, they have to chip away at that legacy. They've even gone to the extent now of trying to rewrite history. But none of that has worked successfully for them, because every time the default position comes in Bahamian politics, they know that they can count on the Progressive Liberal Party.
So who beats you? Who defeats you? Because I often say that in a blow for blow, and I don't want to get political with it and being able to do this, but I have to do this because I talk about this. And pound for pound, bow for bow, for the legacy that you have, for the relationship that you've built with the Bahamian people, for the introduction that you've done in terms of telling us about politics and really empowering us way back in the 60s and the 50s and really preparing us for this leader, for this independence that we have today. What defeats you? What defeated you in 2012 and 17? What continues to defeat the PLP if you have this strength and this legacy? Talk to me about it.
The economy. And when there's a perception painted that people don't have sufficient in their pockets, that's usually the response. And that certainly was the response by 1992. The factors in the pre-1992 period that led to the coming of Mr. Ingram was, in some sense, leadership fatigue. And then secondly, the imposition of tax rises by the then Minister of Finance prior to the 1992 election that I think in retrospect was key to what happened in 1992 in August. And so that is something which all of us have to abstract a lesson from, is that at the end of the day, people vote their pockets and vote the economy.
Now let's talk about that as we go forward. We're here at this juncture now, and I think everyone's rich, ripe, and ready as it relates to the next general election. The conversation's swirling. There's speculations. A lot of persons are trying to be able to figure out who's doing what. We would have been able to see on another space a person saying that the F&M is ratified. 14 people come to find out that's not true. So there is relentless conversations about the possibility that there is election afoot. We know that next year is the time that we're going to be able to identify those things. And in doing that, we'd like to know whether or not there is any moves as your administration. We haven't seen the Boundary Commission meet just yet. Are there any talks about the possibility for there to be able to be one more seat based upon population, based upon numbers in constituencies, based upon these particular factors?
Well, as I understand it, the commission has been constituted. Whether it's met or not is a different thing. But and no doubt when one looks at the census figures, there'll be a review of the seats because, as you know, the Constitution calls for seats insofar as it is practicable to be more or less equal. And then the Constituencies Commission also has the responsibility to ensure that even where you can't have seats of equal numbers, that the geographic dispersion is taken into account. Thus, you have a constituency like my Cal that has less than 3,000 people in it, mm-hmm. But a constituency in New Providence has 6,000. But the Constitution allows for that because of the dispersion of the islands of my Cal mm-hmm. and the need for them to have representation, notwithstanding the numbers, their geography dictates that they have a seat. Mm-hmm. So that will come, and no doubt when they look at the number of electors, I think that one seat in New Providence in particular has been said to have been too large in terms of numbers of electors, and so there's probably going to be a look at really in a position to speculate except to look at general and state general principles, which is that the first thing is that constituencies should be more or less equal, and you try to do that in islands within islands. So Andros, the constituencies in Andros, for example, will be more or less equal. Same thing in Grand Bahama or in Abaco or in New Providence, whatever number they set their sights on, they should be more or less equal. But it also says that you can take into account the issue of geographic dispersion.
Okay, so with all of that being said, I want to know whether or not, as an administration, your New Day mantra, this kind of an idea that came to the forefront, was all about transparency, accessibility, accountability, right? And the embodiment of that and being able to talk about this new path for a new direction for the country. And so I want to know whether or not there is any consideration being given, not outside of the norm, but any specific consideration being given to external entities being able to come in and oversee election for this prospect and idea of corruption or things that are happening on the ground. Are you considering doing anything like that to being able to bring in external entities?
Well, all elections in the country have invited outside observers. We've had Commonwealth observers, we've had CARICOM observers, we've had OAS observers, and they do reports. And none of the reports have indicated that there's any issue about corruption at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. One of the reports, which I remember in particular, of course, is OAS, which pointed out something which, of course, we could have found out ourselves, which is there are more women on the rolls than there are. That means that political parties ought to be pointing themselves in a particular direction, and that the participation of women in the actual front line is something which we have to look at, because while they outnumber men in the electorate, they don't outnumber men or are equal to men in terms of those who are running on the front line. So that's something that we as a party have pledged to seek to address going forward. I would also say that it would be a wise thing, and I've certainly spoken to PM about this, to look at the census and what it tells us. So the fashion is that our policies ought to be geared toward the youth of the country. And that certainly is something that is important. But when you look at the statistics, what they're telling us is the population is actually growing older. We've only had an increase in population in our country as a result of immigration. Rate of natural increase is below replacement level. We're now at 1.7 and change, which means we should be at 2.1 if we want to replace the population. So the result is the more important cohorts in terms of age are those between the ages of 35 and 65, because the population is, in fact, growing older. And so the question is, what policies going forward will governments have to offer to that set of voters and the issues which will be important to them? I suspect those issues will be pensions. I suspect health care will be on the top of the list. And thus you see the Progressive Liberal Party is already adjusting its health care policies. The Minister of Health has already announced that he's widening the net for prescription drugs on the special program. So you can see that going forward. What I would also say is that in my own anecdotal experience at the University of the Bahamas, and I plan to be there on Thursday afternoon, again, speaking to the students, is that when I speak to students, one of the interesting things that they would always say is when I say something to them, they always respond, well, my Grammy told me this or my Grammy told me that. And so I said, oh, well, I know what I have to do. I have to go and speak to Grammy. Because Grammy is concerned, Grammy not influences what the students think and how they act. Number one, and number two is Grammy is concerned about scholarships for their kids, the ability to get an education, and to do things for them to get a job, which will give them a quality of life going forward. So those are our marching orders, and you will see as we develop broad policy swaths toward those particular cohorts.
This is exciting, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to join me in speaking with none other than the Minister for Fox Hill, the Member of Parliament for Fox Hill, and the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Foreign Service, Chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, Fred Mitchell. We're going to take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Now, let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear y'all selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326 Epic. We ship also to the Family Island.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. I guess there's a lot of conversation that you and I are going to have after the minister goes, where we have a chance to be able to kind of chop it up together, because I've said this to you, that any right-thinking person who does his homework in a constituency recognizes that the demographic is leading towards women. And for you to be able to craft a campaign, you have to go after the mothers and grandmothers. And if this is the data and information that's coming forward, this is exactly what's what and what's happening in our society. We got to be able to make modifications to be able to do that. I'm asking the minister on the break. I'm just giving him sort of an analogy that my daughter knows all the. She seems like she knows the whole cabinet of what's happening on Trump, but she don't know. She don't know Chester Cooper is the deputy prime minister locally, right? And so we have to be able to bridge that gap locally, right? Now, I want to talk to you more about, from the Foreign Affairs, Foreign Service standpoint, I want to talk to you about this. Marco Rubio has taken on the strong position and indicated that these ideas associated with what was happening out of Cuba and the fact that this labor
This is forced labor, quote unquote, forced labor with these particular things. And then they create this scenario indicating that the Cuban regime is responsible for being able to accept all these. Now, I lived in Cuba. I think you know that. I lived in Cuba. And I understand as it relates to the American dollar in society. The time I was living there, the doctors were making some like $7 a month, right? But these people were taken care of straight through, right? From, you know, nursery, daycare, primary education, straight to university. The government takes care of this. Some of the smartest people that we have in the region, right? And now Marco Rubio is taking on this kind of position and indicating that as a result of forced labor, he's looking at countries, he's looking at individuals, and saying anybody who's participating in that, they want to be able to make a strong position. What's the position of the country on this particular thing that he's saying?
Well, the general statement, which has been issued by the foreign ministry and the prime minister has spoken about this, is simply that we understand the nature of American politics and American foreign policy. They have a new administration and a new view of life and how that should operate. Know that they are in a position to dictate terms. We are confronted with this policy with what I call a Hobson's choice. So it appears to be a choice, but in fact,
it's not really a choice.
It's not a choice at all. So that's the starting position. The prime minister has also indicated that the country will stand on its principles and will also speak the truth. We assume, and it may be a rebuttable presumption, but we assume that we are dealing with rational actors and that rational actors will, in fact, be influenced by the truth. The truth is that there is no, as far as we can tell, there is no violation of international labor recoupment norms by the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And as far as we can tell from our CARICOM neighbors, there is no such no such practices.
And the UN hasn't said anything. Human rights organizations haven't said anything. No one else has said anything outside of the Trump administration.
Well, this comes to the second position that I'd like to state, is that our understanding of U.S. immigration laws with regard to the visas, or whether you get a visa or don't, is that the application of visa policies is a subjective one. So it's not an objective one. So that means it is whatever they interpret it to be. Mm-hmm. We have had the experience in this country, I would say scores of Bahamians, if not hundreds of Bahamians, who every day complain to us about how they're treated when they go to the U.S. Embassy, about the decisions which are taken in turning down visas. So the application to a broader group of people, which would include foreign officials under this particular edict, is not different from what their normal policies are, which is that when you face a consular officer, there's a subjective decision taken with regard to these things. The only thing that a small country can do in these circumstances is to simply say what the truth is. The decision is not ours. It is theirs. It is their country, and it's their country. What I would say also is, from a legal point of view, there are certain treaty obligations which it appears the United States has with regard to access to their country for those representatives of countries who have to access the United Nations and the Organization of American States. Mm-hmm. And again, our assumption is we're dealing with rational actors, and we assume that the United States will carry out and fulfill those treaty obligations. I think our position is that we're not engaged in ideological warfare. We're not engaged in public shouting match. We're simply stating what the facts are, what the truth is, and our assumption is that as we've dealt with rational actors in the past, we deal with rational actors in the future, and that the truth will out.
I'd like to know about this now, because we've seen America take on a very strong position after the introduction of this Make America Great Again, even during the last dispensation of Trump's administration, and now with the introduction of him being able to come back as 47 and being able to do exactly what he's doing. there is in sort of a this idea, right, that making America great again, and this is what I read, making America great again has to do with an obligation to be able to empower his people in one way or another. We see the tariffs. We see this kind of a posture that he's taken with Zelensky. We've seen a lot of things that is happening from the world over. And we've seen that he's taken on this strong, convicted position that come hell or high water, these are the decisions that we're going to be able to make. And I want to know whether or not we as a nation, as a people, despite our size, despite our position, have taken on that sort of a convicted position that this is the right thing to do for the Bahamian people. And if so, if we have taken on those things, what are some of the decisions that this administration has made to ensure that we can get the Bahamian people back on the right track? As you indicated, that economics is one of the major reasons why persons oust a government. And so with the desire that this administration has to be able to be back in the seat come 2026, what decisions have you made, an empowerment that you're going to be able to ensure that is accessible to the Bahamian people, that you could be able to put monies in their pocket and empower them to make decisions going into the future?
Well, the tourists have to keep coming to the country. The tourists that come to the country are in the main American tourists. Mm-hmm. So therefore, any government of the Bahamas has to ensure that those relationships, the relationship with the United States government survives, and survives on a good and rational basis. And that's the basis from which we proceed. And I have no expectation that that's going to change. The fact is, if you look at the history of our country, decisions have been made of an economic nature that have, those decisions have affected us in the past, and we've simply adjusted to it. We do not have an army. We do not have the economic might to change all of those things. What we have is a set of, we have familial ties with the United States, and we have our moral voice, and we exercise those voices, again, I say, because we, the assumption is, although it may be rebuttable, the assumption is that you're dealing with rational actors, and that's always been the case in the past, and we assume it'll be the case in the future. So, for example, in the history of the country, you know that farming, there were decisions taken about farming in the 20th century. Our farmers used to be able to access the United States. That's how Sidney Poitier ended up being born in Florida. But then a decision was taken which disallowed farmers from the Bahamas from selling their produce in the United States, and we adjusted to that. You know that there was bootlegging when the United States passed a constitutional amendment to prevent people from drinking liquor. And during that time, we had a boom in our economy. During the Civil War, a similar thing, when the United States was blockading arms to get into the South. There was a boom here because people were running the blockade. So we've been tied in various ways to the United States economy to be the case. And we saw after 2001, and we saw it during COVID again, that we have a food insecurity problem because all of our food is imported from the United States. All of everything, all the inputs into the tourism sector all come from the United States. So policies, economic policies, which will affect costs, will automatically be transferred to the Bahamas. One of the things we as the political party in power have to go to great pains is public education on this question of why costs are the way they are and efforts to ensure that people understand the nature of the economy and why things the way they are, so that the government does not get blamed for things which are beyond their control. And we are seeking to find alternative markets. That's not as easy as it seems. So, for example, the shipping sector is now concerned that there's going to be $1 million charge on each ship which comes into U.S. ports if those ships were made in China. Tropical Shipping, I understand, has put out a notice to the country that this may mean as
high that the ship is not being delivered if it was made in China? Or you mean the goods on the ship?
No, that the ship itself,
the ship itself
was made in China.
This is crazy.
So that appears to be something. So there's a group now of Bahamians in Florida who are connected to the shipping sector, who are working with the government. And we, on a more broad front, have taken the exceptional efforts. The Chancellor of the Exchequer has agreed to provide funding, additional funding to the foreign ministry to take on board people who are lobbyists at trying to access the various arms of the U.S. government to discuss all of these matters because of the knock-on effects to the economy of the Bahamas. And the hope is, again, dealing with rational actors, that we'll have some carve-outs if necessary. But the idea is not to get into any kind of confrontation on this, on these issues, but to seek to negotiate our way forward in the best interests of the Bahamian people.
Mia Motley and I think it's Premier Gonzalez has taken on a very strong position, and we've always, and maybe in the newspaper, that there are some voices popping up throughout the region that actually speaks to the strength and the sovereignty of these particular places. In one way or another, whether or not it was deliberate or by design or whether it happened organically, our nation, our country, its voice has been attached to these particular things. I want to know from you whether or not this is by design. Are you seeking to unify, similar to what's happening in the Caribbean, unify your voices with influential leaders throughout the region to be able to speak to this rationale to see change? Yeah.
Well, for good or ill, we are tied geographically to the United States and its economy. Mm-hmm. That's the case for the entire Caribbean region. So even those who are far away, or whether you're close like us or far away, we're in the same boat. So the arguments will be similar, although not the same. And people will express themselves in various degrees of strength. Our own Prime Minister, as I indicated, gave a formal statement at the RF Economic Seminar, Outlook Seminar, when he indicated that the country's voice had to be heard and that that the country would speak up for its values. Other prime ministers may have expressed it in different ways. But there is a careful balancing act in all countries because you have a political cleavage in our country. For example, if you search my phone, you will find after the decision was made, the announcement was made, and we've known about this for a couple of weeks before it became a public issue, after the decision was made, there was a sort of outrage and cry, "You can't let these people bully us," was a lot of the comments coming. But at the same time, you also know that there's a practical aspect to any policy, which is that, you know, you can't shut down the tourism sector. You can't allow that to happen. You can't allow us not to be able to import food. You can't allow us to have goods which support the inputs in the sector and for our way of life. So a government walks, a Bahamian government or any CARICOM government walks that thin line. And again, I go back to this. We assume we're dealing with rational actors, and rational actors will conform their policies in such a way that it does not damage their friends.
I like it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking with none other than Chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party and Member of Parliament for Fox Hill and Minister of Foreign Affairs, none other than Fred Mitchell. Got to take this quick commercial break. Going to be right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But, Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts. Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
Hey, pizza lovers! Marco's Pizza is turning up the heat with new daily deals that are here to stay. Get the trio one large, one topping pizza, a 2-liter drink, and cheesy bread for just $21. Or double up with the golden crust duo. Two large, one topping pizzas and a 2-liter drink for just $24. Want more? Grab the Magnifico double. Two medium, two topping pizzas for just $28. Great pizza. Great deal. All day. Every day. Available now at Marco's Pizza. Order today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, the foundation, live and in full effect, having good conversation with the Minister of Foreign Affairs and the Member of Parliament for Fox Hill, Chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, none other than Fred Mitchell being able to be. And I always like talking with you, Minister, because the truth of the matter is that I've always found you, some would say stoic, but I always find you transparent and being able to give me straightforward information. You never try to cut corners. I see some persons, like former Prime Minister Hubert Ingham would say, trying to put flowers on these things. You've always been transparent in these positions and being able to do that. So I'd like to commend you in that particular space. Now, there is a push. I'm going to get a little political with you in the last 10 minutes of the show. There is a significant push. There is enough chatter about the place. You put on your chairman cap now. There is enough chatter about the place, that relentless approach that the PLP has taken to ensure that they could find themselves back in a victorious position. As you stated prior, that one of the reasons why governments are ousted is, or the PLP more specifically, has found themselves on the other side of victory, is as a result of the economy. The economy has been one of the issues. And so you're saying one of the things that you got to do is be able to ensure that you can be able to keep the tourists coming. What about entrepreneurialism? We've seen some 11 point some million people. We've seen the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism continue to be able to champion the set of an idea that so many persons are coming over. But simultaneously, we're seeing taxi drivers agitate and argue, and all these particular things are happening. What about money on the ground? What about money into the pockets of those particular persons who are so close to the industry, who's still being able to have indifference and the trickle effect not necessarily being able to be as impactful as it was back in the day? What are you doing to be able to shore that up?
Well, there's, of course, the programs that are in place either by grant or by loans for small businesses, and all the special programs for young people at the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture. Those programs have been funded, but of course they need to be more adequately funded in order to spread the good seeds around. But I would say that part of what we face is structural, in the sense that tourism has now become what you would call a business for huge corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who come here want a product which replicates what they see overseas and is uniform in some sense. So there's that. But you do have Bahamian actors who are now coming into the system. Two of them in particular, Sebastian, Adrian Fox, who are both about to build multi-million dollar tourist investments along the Western Foreshore. So that is a change from where we were. When John Issa came here during the Ingram era to buy the Ambassador Beach or the Sonesta Beach, he said one of the things he did was he wanted to speak to hotel owners who were Bahamian. And he discovered when he got here, there were no Bahamian hotel owners. So he said, well, this is strange because this is their number one product and, you know, there are no Bahamian hotel owners. Well, that's changing. I think that's changing with these two major actors coming into play. So the question then is, how do you further capitalize small businesses? I think that's an issue which the Deputy Prime Minister is working on every day and night, to be able to access additional capital so people can get invested and start up businesses which feed on the giant tourist business which comes around. I noticed, for example, that the Free National Movement's spokesman was concerned about the fact that you don't have more stopover visitors because they say they put more money in the economy. But you ask yourself, with millions of people coming through the ports every week, there must be something which they will buy. And we have to help our own people find the products which people will buy and up the spending. I had the pleasure and honor of being taken around the tour of, I think it's called I Dream of Sugar, which is a big candy store and ice cream shop across, owned by Franklin Ferguson.
Okay, I know what you're talking
about. Who's put millions of dollars into this beautiful facility. And the place is packed on weekends. Upstairs, it's got good food. It has a balcony which overlooks the Bay Street.
I hear the music, but I never stop by.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's a good thing to try. And he is a Bahamian. So slowly but surely, we're taking our place there. And the government is certainly at the forefront of supporting that kind of effort.
I can push you a little taste more on this particular issue because I know that you're a historian, your position. Now, the former administration has taken on this position of being able to reach out to Airbnb and Facebook and all these particular things to tax the Bahamian people who seek to do business in this kind of a cyberspace, right? And in doing that, I've always been a critic about the fact that I think this was a lazy approach, to use the former Prime Minister Minister's words. This is a lazy approach, just merely taxing for governance. That administration, including your administration, is looking for public-private partnerships with the development of a great deal of things. And in those particular things, is there any consideration to, or has any grouping come towards being able to purchase, whether it is the hotel in Grand Bahama, whether it is the development for the airport in Grand Bahama, whether it is some of the development for the airports around here? Have you done any of those particular work to ensure that you create an environment, cut the red tape, for entrepreneurs and businessmen and women who want to be able to do business with the government of the Bahamas but don't have to climb this kind of a steep, smooth hill to get to the top of it? Have you done that type of work for persons to access it?
Well, as far as I'm aware, there's nothing which prevents any Bahamian from accessing any of those projects. And there are, in fact, Bahamians who are involved in the projects in Grand Bahama. Perhaps not the hotel, but certainly with the development of the airport. And that's a case across the country. I'm always reluctant to promote specific companies,
right?
Because the way the country works is once they get themselves in the limelight, suddenly people start picking on them. But you just have to see what's happening in Exuma with the paving of the roads, all done by Bahamians. Same thing in Cat Island, all done by Bahamians. Same thing in Eleuthera, all done by Bahamians in public-private partnerships. And so you've got the Simmons Group, you've got the Caribbean Paving Group, Bahama Stripings Group, that are all Bahamians who have done exceedingly well. You've got a number of contractors who do all the school repairs and the public buildings that they do. So quite under the radar, there's a lot and a lot of development for Bahamian entrepreneurs.
And that's a wonderful thing. Now, talk to me about this. What can we expect? And I want to be decent with this question. What can we expect as it relates to
the administration, your grouping, the men and women that actually govern, we have, and as you know, we've done a poll, right? And the poll, though it's not scientific, it has been able to provide us information from those persons in various constituencies. You've done well in the poll. I've actually brought you got an A for your constituency, your commitment, so forth and so on. But there are some people within the Progressive Liberal Party that persons, whether on the streets, whether via traditional radio, social media, and other things, that persons are looking at to say that if these modifications are made, if we move this person or that person and afford an opportunity for fresh blood to come in these kind of spaces, there is quite a chance and a possibility that the PLP will win the next general election. Are you considering any of these? And I don't want to get deep in your business, and I don't expect you. I know you're a diplomat. But has there been any consideration or any conversations about the fact that, hey, listen, to be able to give someone else an opportunity to sit in these particular spaces going into the next general election?
Well, the Prime Minister is the person who chairs the Candidates Committee, and he is aware of the polls that you have and the polls that are on social media. We did our own internal review. We've sat down with all of our members of Parliament and senators and explained to them what the public atmosphere is, what their responsibilities are. And it's a continuing monitoring business. We're not at the point yet where we're choosing candidates, but the initial discussions are cranking up as to how do we face the electorate going forward. Over the weekend, six constituencies gathered in the new community center by Nassau Village to have a discussion about what are you to do to get ready for general election 2026. What is unremarkable in a sense, but what is really pleasing to me is the level of energy that our partisans have at this point about facing what they have to do for the general election. They were quick to the tasks, all the assessments that they were asked to do, they were able to do. And we're saying, look, it's time to get cranked up, get the machine cranked up to deal with this. What I'm also really pleased with as chairman of the party is the fact that people now understand that, like the church, which meets every Sunday, branches have to meet every month, and they do. And when I attend the branch meetings, are packed and full of people, and people follow them around. Ministers of the government are now using them to announce policies, to explain the policies, because this is an election which, in my view, is not going to be won in social media and is not going to be done by advertising. This is an election that is going to be won by door to door. It's the same. Still,
come spend some of your money with us anyhow.
Well, I agree. I mean, because they're all elements.
You need balance.
Yes,
yeah.
They're all elements of it. I mean, first of all, social media is very important, as you know. It influences policy. It influences image. So clearly, that is going to be one dimension of it. But what we've said to people is that you need to reconnect with old friends and introduce yourself to new friends. And that's the job that we're starting with now. So that it cannot be said that we are disconnected from where people are on the ground.
Okay.
And that is job number one. And as far as the assessment of people's individual performances in their constituencies, I say to people, look, my job as is to keep everybody together, to be the cheerleader, to be the promoter, and to make sure that we get to the finish line in 2026 with all of us together, headed in the same direction and singing Kumbaya.
I like it. Minister, I'd like to be able to invite you, if you can. I know that you're busy, especially as we progress into the year, to the end of the year, and move on to next year, that you're going to be extremely busy. But I'd like you, in your capacity as chairman, with your chairman hat on, if you can carve out some time for me, maybe even just once a month, to come on and be able to talk about what's happening from a national standpoint, from a political standpoint, just to be able to cut the flutter out. This kind of an idea of people speculating on social media and other spaces and being able to hear directly from the horse's mouth. So if you
Great.
Can do that, I can be able to set that up for you.
Sure.
I want to thank you, man. I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to sit with us and have this kind of a transparent conversation. It's always refreshing to talk with you. You always give me a good history lesson, and I enjoy that. Ladies and gentlemen, this is none other than Fred Mitchell in his capacity as chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party. Minister of Foreign Affairs, and definitely Member of Parliament for Fox Show. Grateful to be able to be here. Guys, going to see you tomorrow. God spare life as we speak with none other than Dr. Dwayne Sands as we continue to have our conversation with the chairmen. You see you tomorrow. God spare right here on The Foundation.
Foundation.